But who do you say that I am? Today's gospel, we encounter a double confession. First, a confession inspired by God the Father that Peter gave to Jesus. You are the Messiah, the long-awaited Christ, and the Son of God. And then Jesus told Simon who he was. I, for my part, say to you, you are rock. Kephah in Aramaic is both the name Peter and the thing rock. You are rock. And on this rock, on you, I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld won't prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Double confession. Today we celebrate the chair of St. Peter, which was the inauguration of his episcopal ministry in Antioch before he went to Rome. But there's something far deeper and broader for us to ponder today. At the beginning of the Mass, we turned to God the Father and we thanked him for grounding us fast on the rock of Peter's confession of faith. Who we are as Catholics is based on what Jesus confessed and actually did. Jesus was saying he was building his church on Peter, and therefore, if we're going to be real Christians, full Christians, our entire life of faith is going to be based fast, hard, solidly on Peter's confession of faith. Here, over my left shoulder, we've got a beautiful image of the Holy Spirit. That comes from St. Peter's Basilica, and it's immediately over in the very back of the basilica, the altar that's called the Altar of the Chair. St. Peter's Chair. When Bernini was building this in the 1600s, there was this ancient chair there in St. Peter's Basilica, which everybody believed was the actual chair on which Peter used to sit in Rome to teach the crowds. In the ancient world, the symbol of teaching authority was a chair. The way students would come to classes, all the students would be standing taking notes, and the teacher would be seated. Says many times in the Gospel, Jesus sat down and began to teach. We've flipped it around a little bit today. The students are all seated, and the teacher generally stands at a podium and teaches. But in the ancient world, the chair was the symbol of that teaching authority. Much like a priest has a pulpit, or a judge has a bench and a gavel, that's the symbol of Peter's teaching authority. At the very back of that basilica, Bernini enshrined this chair that they thought Peter sat on. Turns out, where you do greater research, that the chair wasn't 1600 years old, it was only a measly 800 years old, and it had been given by Otto II to the Pope. Okay, no big deal. Peter has this authority, and that's what it symbolizes. And how's that whole altar of the chair constructed? At the top you have this alabaster and crystal sculpture of the Holy Spirit guiding Peter and guiding the entire church to the whole truth. Then underneath that chair you've got four great saints, four doctors of the church, famous bishop theologians, Athanasius, Chrysostom, Augustine, Ambrose, all spiritually upholding the chair, pointing to it but not literally touching it, to show the relationship between bishops and the papal teaching authority, theologians and the papal teaching authority, and all of us in the papal teaching authority. We're all supposed to be spiritually supporting the Pope in this mission. And then in the very back of the chair, something very important. You've got a bas-relief of Peter's feeding Jesus's sheep. You remember at the very end of St. John's Gospel, when Jesus asked Peter three times, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me more than everything else? And three times Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus' commands were, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my lambs. That the way Peter feeds Christ's little flock and older flock is precisely through teaching. Just as Jesus had compassion on the crowds and began to teach them, so Peter's shepherding Christ's flock would be with the firmness of the teaching God, the Holy Spirit, would inspire him to give, applying Jesus' words to the present day. So today on this Feast of the Cheer of St. Peter, we've got to be grateful to God and thank him for the teaching authority of Peter and all the popes after him. We continue to build our faith on the living rock of the papacy, now with Pope Francis, our 266th pope. Throughout church history, this teaching authority of the papacy has been incredibly important. In the early church, the major issues were dogmatic. Was Jesus really 100% God and 100% man? Was the Holy Spirit truly divine? Did Jesus have one will or two wills? And it was the Pope who helped to resolve all of these issues, together with those first ecumenical councils. And in the early days, they started an expression, Roma locuta est, causa finita est. Rome has spoken. Peter has spoken. The cause is done. It's over. Because Peter was able to give that clarity. Do you need to be baptized to be saved or not? Peter told us. Is Jesus really 100% man and 100% God? Peter told us. Does Jesus have one will or two? Peter told us. And so many other things, with the clarity of that office of unity, we received God's great help to resolve that confusion and the division that flows from confusion in the church. Today, the main issues are not dogmatic. The main issues today are moral. How we apply Jesus' command to love our neighbor as he has loved us in the concrete. And it's Peter's voice that's really important. When Peter says, it's not consistent with love of neighbor to murder babies in the womb or murder them in the vegetative state at the end of life. That's not. Even though you're going to have certain other people say, that's the compassionate thing to do. Peter steps up and says, no, it's not. About the real meaning of human love, human sexuality, marriage, and family. The world's got all these other ideas about what it means, that it's essentially meaningless. Peter says, no, all of these are essential to who we are in God's image and likeness, and this is what we need to do. In terms of the welcoming of immigrants and caring for the poor, there are a whole bunch of people who basically say survival of the fittest. And Peter says, no. Just as the early Christians did, so the Christians today need to heed Peter's voice. Peter's is not just another opinion. For us to be truly Christians, we need, by divine foundation, to build our faith fast on the rock of Peter's confession of faith, which is far more than just saying, you are the Messiah and Son of God. It's also when he says abortion is an intrinsically evil action, or we need to embrace every immigrant the way we would embrace Christ. We need to build our life on Peter's continual confession of Jesus. But there's a second application. Many of us as Catholics, if we knew the Pope were saying A and we were thinking B, most of us as Catholics would say, okay, at least daily Mass Catholics would say, okay, I need to align myself with the Pope. The Pope knows better than I do about what the Catholic faith teaches. There are others out there who might, with hubris, choose to disagree and say that the Pope's wrong about these issues. The popes have always taught that only baptized men can be ordained priests. But the feminists, the radical feminists say, no, that's misogyny. Who are you going to stand with, Peter or these wacko lesbian nuns? Okay? Who's it going to be? Catholics will stand with Peter. But the second issue, are we really attuned to Peter's voice? You know, when the Pope comes out with a document, what's our attitude toward it? When he writes a letter to us Catholics, do we devour that letter, even if it might be slightly over our head? Do we seek to understand Peter's confession of faith when he writes it for the church throughout the world, or do we basically ignore it? One of the huge shocks to me in my priesthood, as I've done an awful lot of work with my brother priests throughout the country and also done a lot of work with women religious and consecrated women, is that when I go out to these things, I basically have to describe what the Pope has said in these documents, because so few read them. So few read them. And no wonder why the people don't read them. Because if their pastors, if their teachers aren't encouraging them to read them, because they're not reading them themselves, how is anybody really hearing what Peter says? Pope Francis has given us an encyclical. He's given us an apostolic exhortation. As Catholics, we're supposed to build our faith on his application of the gospel to the present. For us to be good Catholics, we need to work through those gifts. If we're not, we're not really building our faith on Peter's. We're not really doing exactly what Jesus wants us to do. Today, we are so blessed. We're living in a time in which what Peter teaches us, we can access that very day. A lot of the times, we can watch it live on all our new gadgets. I read what the Pope preaches every morning at 7. You'll hear it come out sometimes through my own homilies. Pope Francis said, this morning in the Vatican X, because we have access to it, thanks be to God, right there into the Pope's own prayer on the same readings we confront. It's important for us to build our faith on his confession of faith. We have access to that today. We can watch videos. We can listen to recordings. And I would think if someone doesn't have a computer yet, doesn't have an iPad, doesn't have some way to hook up to the internet, that the sole motivation to do it is would be so that you can get what the Pope's saying every single day. It's important to be able to do that. And that gift is available to us. But a lot of us just aren't taking advantage of it. We confess with Peter the same faith, but we're not yet really building our entire Christian life on Peter's continual profession. God wants to give us the grace to change that, little by little, so that we're able to profit more and more from what Jesus continues to teach us through Peter. When Jesus sent out Peter and the other apostles, he told them very clearly, those who hear you, hear me. And so it behooves us to hear Peter, because he's an echo of the voice of the Good Shepherd. I want to finish by turning to Peter's confession of Jesus in the Eucharist. It's the greatest confession of all. You remember in Capernaum, 1 year before the Last Supper, exactly, Jesus said, unless we gnaw on his flesh and drink his blood, we will have no life in us. And many of his disciples were disgusted. They were grossed out, and they abandoned the Lord, saying, this teaching is too hard to endure. And that's when Jesus turned to his closest followers and said, are you two going to leave me? That's when Peter, inspired doubtless by the same God the Father who inspired him in today's gospel, stood up and said, Domine, quo vivimus? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and we know that you are the Son of God. In other words, Lord, we have no idea how you're going to give us your flesh and blood to eat. Jesus would only reveal that 1 year later during the Last Supper, when he would totally change bread and wine into his body and blood and give it to them to eat. But he said, because I believe in you, Jesus, I believe in what you say. Therefore, I'm going to build my life on that word. Peter helps us to confess here that same reality. He was present at that first Mass when Jesus gave us his flesh and blood. And then he had this supreme gift of being able to celebrate the Mass and give the Messiah and Son of God's flesh and blood to the first Christians. He passed on that gift. The connection between that confession and this confession is very important. When the early church began to celebrate the Mass, it wasn't just the liturgy of the Eucharist. Could have been, everybody get together, let's just celebrate the Eucharist. They never did that. They always united two things. The liturgy of the Word with the liturgy of the Eucharist. Because that was Peter's real mission. First to teach with Christ the Word of God, and then to give out the Word made flesh. The two are totally and intrinsically connected. And in both, we hold fast to the rock of Peter's confession of faith. Just as we hear his words, so we receive the Eucharist through the papacy and what it allows. This is depicted very powerfully in St. Peter's Basilica. In the Blessed Sacrament Chapel there is a gorgeous tabernacle. And the tabernacle is of the oldest church in Rome, dedicated in a sense to St. Peter. It was at the place they thought his martyrdom was during the time of the Middle Ages and the Renaissance. San Pietro in Montorio, it was called. When they wanted to symbolize there in St. Peter's Basilica the connection between Peter and the Eucharist, they took that church and made a replica of it for the tabernacle to show us that we receive Jesus in Holy Communion only because of holy orders that the papacy makes possible. They thought that it would be a little gross to have a statue of St. Peter with the key in his belly button so that you'd open it up and take the Eucharist out from within him. So that's why they built a beautiful tabernacle based on a church that symbolizes Peter. But the connection's always the same. We get access to Jesus in the Eucharist through Peter and the holy orders that Jesus himself established, just like we hear Jesus' voice through Peter's teaching authority. So we come forward today, we turn to St. Peter, and we ask him to intercede for us, that what we prayed at the beginning of this Mass might come about, that we might hold fast to his continual confession of faith in the papal teaching authority, as well as in the Pope's pointing out the Messiah and Son of God here to feed us and to nourish us, to go out into the world with Peter and confess our same God. This is our faith. This is the faith of the Church built on Peter. How proud we are to profess it. In Christ Jesus, our Lord.